And you follow along.
And then remain standing for prayer. Psalm 122, a song of degrees of David. I was glad when they said unto me, Let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together. Whither the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. For there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls, and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and companions' sakes, I will now say, Peace be within thee. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. Amen. Father, help us tonight, Lord God, as we look into your word once again. Father, I pray that you would just help us to focus our attention on what you'd have for each and every one of us. Thank you, Lord God, for the events of the day. I thank you, Lord God, for all those that have had a part in ministering and blessing us with music and with saying their verses and Lord, just with our presence here, fellowshipping with one another. And so now I pray that you would just turn our attention to your word and give us something from it that we can take away from here, Lord. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Please be seated. I like what he says in verse 1. I was glad when they said unto me, Let us go into the house of the Lord. And I know that you know, this is David. This is 1000 BC approximately. He's not talking about the church. The church did not exist as an organization or an institution yet. But it was the house of God, and today the church is the house of God. He was talking about the house of God, and he says, I was glad when they said unto me, Let us go into the house of God. I like going to church. I like dressing up for church. I like seeing the people at church. I love my pastor and his family. I like going to church. I liked going to church when I was a little bitty kid. I loved going to church, and we had to, my mother didn't drive when I was little, and so we had to get a ride from a lady down the street, and she took us to the church she went to, or we had a church van come and pick up my mother and the kids, three kids. But I liked going to church. We rode in that van. We had fun in that van. We used to play a game in that van. There was this big, huge hill that we used to have to go up. And it seemed like we had to go up that hill whether we were going to church or coming from church. Either way, we still had to go up that same big, huge, huge hill. And the van would seem to slow down on that hill, and everybody in the back of the van would push on a seat in front of them and trying to get up that hill. Some of my best early memories revolve around going to church. I loved going to church when I was little. I remember one time I was probably about 2.5, 3 years old. An experience that might be traumatic was less traumatic because it happened at church. I got lost. I got separated from my mother. And I don't know what happened, but somehow I found myself alone in a crowd of people moving around the church building. It was a larger building than this that we attended at the time. And I didn't know what was going on. I started crying. And this kindly elderly gentleman came and took me by the hand. And he walked about 3 steps with me, and he said, Is that your mother? Yeah, that was my mother. And there she was. But, you know, that even a traumatic experience, I look back with fondness on a memory like that happened in church. I remember the church we attended when I was really little had a bell, and had in a foyer area, there was a big rope that came down, and an usher would stand there looking at his watch. And at 5 till, the usher would let the little boys pull on that rope. And someone would cling to that rope and jump up and hang and go up and down. But at 5 till, would pull on that rope and ring that bell. And I didn't know what 5 till meant, but I knew what that bell meant. That bell meant it's time to go to church. And so I remember, being at home one day. And of course, you know, when you're that little, you don't know what day of the week it is. You know, you don't know what time it is. You don't know anything. And I remember playing outside and I heard a church bell ringing. And I ran and I said, it's time to go to church. It's time to go to church. My mom said, no, that's not our church. That's another church. And I remember being excited for those other people that they got to go to church. I loved going to church. I still like going to church. You know, hope my boss don't hear this. There are mornings on the weekday I wake up and I'm like, oh, I'm hurting. I'm tired. I don't want to get out of bed. I don't want to go to work. I didn't hear what he said. Maybe that's better that way. You want to know what? I don't know what it is. I think I do know what it is. That never happens to me on Sunday morning. I like going to church. I like going to church. I haven't always, there have been times in my life when I've been sideways with the Lord and haven't always liked going to church. And when I saw this psalm not too long ago and read it, it's not the first time I read it, of course, but it jumped out at me. David likes going to the house of God, and I noticed some things that he says in here might help us diagnose a problem if we don't like. If there's a part of you that doesn't like going to church, or if there are times in your life when you don't like church, maybe we could help some people that don't like church by what we see in this psalm. Look with me here. He says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Now watch verses 3 and 4. Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together, whither or where the tribes go up. The tribes of the Lord. There were 12 tribes in Israel, 13 if you count Joseph as both Ephraim and Manasseh. The tribes, such a variety of people, all amassing on the house of God. People from every kind of background, all amassing on the house of God. In fact, verse 3 says, Jerusalem is built as a city that is compact together. It's just a few square miles. It's really a small town as far as geographic area. It's just a few square miles, but it's so diverse, the city of Jerusalem. There are so many different kinds of people. I watched a documentary. Even to this day, Jerusalem is a city that is compact together, made up of so people from around the world, people from every racial background, people from every social status and economic standing from around the world, all crammed into this tiny little village, really. Jerusalem is a city that is compact together. You cram that many people together and they still have to buy and sell from each other and engage in commerce and trade with one another. They still have to have the city infrastructure, the utilities working, even though they speak different languages, they're from different backgrounds, they're different, all different kinds of people. A city that is compact together. I just picture what he's looking at here in Jerusalem as the tribes of Israel and all this variety of people. And I remember that the church is the new Jerusalem. And it makes me wonder, is the reason that you don't like church because you don't like God's people? Because you don't like God's people? Look with me at the New Jerusalem just a little bit here. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. This city that is compact together. Ephesians chapter 4. I just want to pick out one verse, and this is a very long, complex Apostle Paul sentence here in chapter 4. A big run-on sentence that he is fond of writing. But I'm picking out one phrase, one verse out of the sentence, and I want to show you something. Verse 16 of Ephesians chapter 4. From whom, and the whom points back to Christ, into verse 15, Christ, from whom the whole body, what's that? The body of Christ, the church, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted, there's that same word again, by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. The church, boy, it just like Jerusalem, it's a city that is compacted together. This is going to come as a shock to some of you, others of you. You're going to say, yeah, I already knew that. In my natural state, I just don't like people. I'll be honest with you. I don't like people. I would rather sit at home and be alone than be with people. I'd rather not leave the house. I like shopping on Amazon because I don't have to go to the store and be with people. That's my natural state. I just don't like people. I thank God that when He saved me, He didn't leave me in my natural state. You bring, boy, church compacted together. It gets crowded in the church sometimes. You have to rub shoulders with a bunch of different people. What do you do? Maybe your problem is you don't like people. Maybe you don't like church because you don't like people. Remind yourself this. Look again at verse 16 of Ephesians 4. From whom the whole body fitly joined together. Number one, you've been joined together with these people because of your bond in Christ. Number two, and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. What's that? Every joint. That's a reference to the church member. What's that mean? You've got what I need and I've got what you need. How can I tolerate coming in here and being compacted together with you? Because I got to remember, you've got what I need and I've got what you need. By that which every joint supplieth. I got to come to church to get what I need, and I got to come to church to give you what you need. Amen, amen, sister. According to the effectual working in the measure of every part has to be working, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Boy, there it is. When God called me and reiterated to me that He wanted me in the ministry, I said, God, you know how I feel about people. And God said, well, you know how I feel about people. And God said, I can make you feel about people how I feel about people. We've got to love one another. You got a problem. You don't like people. God can solve that problem for you. The more that you minister to people and help supply their need, what they need, maybe it's fellowship time. Maybe it's trying to help meet their financial burdens, bearing one another's burdens, whatever they might be. The more God will give you a heart for people. If you don't like church because you don't like people, solve that problem. Solve that problem. The way to solve that problem is be in church and help. Maybe you don't like church because you don't like people. Come back to the 122nd Psalm, and I'm going to try to be brief tonight. But look what verse 4 says, where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord under the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. Amen. Maybe you don't like church because you don't like giving thanks. The church is a place where we give thanks. Church is a place where we where we praise the Lord for what He has done in our lives, where we encourage one another about what God has done in our lives, and we give thanks to His name, and we remind each other how good God is, and we give thanks to Him. That's an atmosphere of thanks. Some people just don't like giving thanks. You know, the New Testament calls giving thanks a sacrifice. Well, some people don't want to make the sacrifice. It's like pulling thanks out of their mouth is like pulling teeth. Maybe you don't like giving thanks. And not only that, maybe you don't come here and you don't give thanks, but you don't like an atmosphere where Thanksgiving is expected. You don't like, if you're not a thankful person, then you don't like to be around thankful people. Right. What's their problem? What do they, you know, gobble, gobble, gobble. Maybe you don't like church because you don't like giving thanks. If that's your problem, solve that. Just, why don't you just open your mouth and thank the Lord? Amen. It's not that hard. Right. It's not that difficult. And boy, you'll find out that once you start and once you go down that road very far, you'll find it hard to stop. Maybe you don't like church because you don't like giving thanks. Solve that problem. Look at verse number 5. For there, in the house of God, there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Maybe you don't like church because you don't like God's judgments. The church is a place where we hear the word of God, where we hear what you're supposed to do and what you're not supposed to do, where we hear the consequences of doing right and the consequences of doing wrong. We call them God's judgments and God's word and God's law. Well, maybe you're the kind of person, you don't want to hear thou shalt not. If you have a problem, religion's got all those restrictions. You can't do this and you can't do that and you can't do the other thing. If that's your attitude, you know, somebody that's got that attitude that they don't even like God's, they don't like God's judgments, they don't like all the restrictions, you might want to check whether or not you're even saved, to be honest. You might want to check whether or not you're even saved. The only people I have heard say that for very, very long turned out to be not even saved. Look at the way our attitude should be about God's judgments. You're in the Psalms. Just a page or two to your left over to the 119th Psalm. Let's just pick out a couple of verses here. Look at verse 47. Psalm 119, verse 47. And I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. Verse 48. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved. And I will meditate in thy statutes. Come down to verse 97. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Verse 113. I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. Verse 140. Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. And we could go on and on throughout the 119th Psalm and all the Psalms, but notice somebody loved God's judgments. Somebody loved God's judgments. The house of God is a place of God's judgments, but if you don't like church, maybe it's because you don't like God's judgments. You know, solve that problem. Check, make sure you're even saved. Are you even saved? Back to the 122nd Psalm. Verses 6 through 8. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and companions' sakes, I will now say, peace be within thee. Three times he says, peace, peace, peace in Jerusalem. You know, the new Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem, the church is a place of peace. If you don't like church, maybe it's because you don't like peace. 1 Corinthians 14:33, it says, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints." The church house is a place of peace. The church is a place where you come and get peace. The church is a place where there's not to be confusion and tumult, but peace. And some people just can't handle peace. I have seen that in my life. Some people, you know, they just can't handle a lack of drama in their life. They just can't handle when there's no fussing. They just can't handle when there's no fighting. They just can't handle when there's no contention. If their life is peaceful, they got to go and sabotage themselves. If there's no drama, they got to stir it up themselves. Some people just don't like peace. Some people's hearts are so attuned to contention, to drama that when they come to a place where there's peace, well, it throws them for a loop. They just don't even know what to do. They come to the church house. They got to stir up drama in a peaceful place. Let me tell you what solved that for me. Years ago, I realized that my heart had been wired for drama and contention and lack of peace. I realized that. You know how I realized that? I read a book called The Great Escape. It wasn't a novel. It was a nonfiction book, and it was about a family that decided to just turn off the TV for a month. I said, that's a good idea. So I unplugged the television in our home for a month, one solid month, 30 days of no TV. And at the end of that 30 days, I realized how much more peace I had in my heart. And I got to thinking why that was the case. And I realized, you know, all these television dramas, it's set up for 60 minutes to build up the tension, build up the tension, build up the tension, and at the end, relieve the tension with the solution to whatever the problem was in 60-minute blocks. And so that happens. You build up the tension, build up the tension, build up the tension, relieve the tension between 7 p.m. and 8 p.m. And then at 8 p.m. to 9 p.m., build up the tension, build up the tension, build up the tension, and then relieve the tension. And then from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m., build up the tension, build up the tension, and build up the tension, and then relieve the tension. And then at 10 p.m., the stinking news. I realized that a lifetime of television like that had wired my brain and wired my heart to think in those terms 24/7. After 1 month of no TV, I turned it back on and I found the contention and the fussing and the tension that was there again. And I said, that's it. I kicked the stupid TV out. I gave the TV to my sister. And she in drama, that's a different story. You know, I found out that when I stopped listening to rock and roll music, and when I stopped listening to country music, I stopped worrying about losing my wife and losing my truck and losing my job and losing my dog and having to play the record backwards to get them all back. When I stopped listening to the world's music, I started having a better appetite for peace and less of an appetite for contention and tension and fussing. Some people don't like church because they don't like peace. 122nd Psalm. Look at verse 9. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. Thy is Jerusalem. So he says, I love the house of God so much. I love the house of God so much. There is the house of God sitting in Jerusalem. And because I love the house of God so much, I will seek Jerusalem's good. What's he saying? He loves the house of God. That's how much he loves the house of God. Maybe you don't like church because you don't love God's ordained institution. God ordained three institutions of human relationship. The very first was marriage and family. Way back before the fall of man, even God instituted marriage and family. God brought Eve to Adam, and that was the beginning of family. In Genesis chapter 9, right after the flood, God instituted civil government. And God said, "Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed." He instituted the civil law that man has got to watch out for his fellow man and enforce the law. And then, some years later, after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, God instituted the institute known as the church. And today, that is the institute or the ordained institution chosen by God to carry out His will on this earth. The organized institution that carries out God's will today is the church. Amen. The church, the local church. Maybe you don't like church because you don't like God's organized institution. You know, some people say, well, I love God and I believe in Jesus, but I don't believe in organized religion. They throw that out there. How many of you ever heard? I don't believe in organized religion. Let me show you a verse. Go to Acts chapter 20. If you don't believe in organized religion, and what you're really saying is, I don't like the church. If you don't believe in organized religion, then you don't believe that God's work should carry on in this world. Look at what God likes. Acts 20, verse 28, and Paul's talking to the Ephesian elders. He says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves," talking to the pastors, "and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers." Now watch this now. "To feed the church of God," it's not the church of man, it's the church of God, "which he," God, "hath purchased with his own blood." I think God loves the church. Amen. And I think if you claim that you love God, then you'll love what God loves. God loves the church enough that God, in the person of Jesus Christ, shed his blood to purchase the church for his own. It's not my church, it's not your church, it's not the pastor's church, it's not the Pope's church. God, in the person of Jesus Christ, purchased the church, and a very high price was paid to purchase the church, his own blood. You say, "Well, I like God, but I don't like organized religion." Well, then I don't think you like God. You say, "Well, I love Jesus." Well, don't you love what his blood purchased? How is missionary work going to be carried out without the church? How Jesus said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." How's that going to be carried out without the church? Someone hears the gospel and gets saved. Now, where do they go to learn more about God without the church? Where do they go to hear God's judgments without the church? God loves the church. Maybe you don't like church because you don't like God's ordained institution. If you have a heart for God, you love what God loves. Why you don't like church? Maybe you're here and you say, "Well, I do like church. I love church." And probably that's the majority of you here. You're here on a Sunday night. You didn't have to be here. You could have been anywhere. You could have been, is basketball on tonight? There's probably basketball you could have been watching. You're here and you say, "Well, I like the church." Well, why don't you keep it that way? Why don't you keep it that way? Maybe you don't like church because you don't like God's people. Solve that problem. We're to love one another. Yeah. Amen. You have what I need. I have what you need. We've got to realize that. Maybe you don't like church because you don't like giving thanks. Why don't you try it? Just try it. Maybe you don't like church because you don't like God's judgments. Are you even saved? Maybe you don't like church because you don't like peace. You can solve that problem. Maybe you don't like church because you don't love God's ordained institution. Listen, the church is vitally, vitally important in this world today. There's coming a day when God's work has to carry on without the church. For 7 years, God's work will carry on without the church. There will be 144,000 Jews preaching the gospel. There will be an angel that preaches the everlasting gospel and flies through the air. But today, right now, God's work carries on in this world through the church. That's God's ordained institution. Do you love it? Do you love that? Why don't you like church? Let's stand and pray and be dismissed. Father, help us.